welcome to Killer Cross Space. This is episode 40. This is part two of the Darley Router case. But go back and listen to part one, which is episode 39, before you listen to this one. In the previous episode, I left off with a write-up from Joe Douglas. I will continue here with the rest of it. But it goes with Darren lied about Darley asking him to find the intruder. Darley didn't ask Darren to find the intruder. She asked Karen to do that. Darren claimed this, thinking it might make the take the suspicious off him. Next thing is, Darren could have gotten help for Damon and Darley several minutes earlier, but he didn't. Darren could have gone to Karen's when he left the home at 2:34 a.m., but he didn't. He didn't go over to the Karen's until 6 minutes later. When he did go over there, he went there screaming and yelling he needed help for his family. He knew there was help already there. See, he put on that show to try and make it appear he was desperate for help. That stun is what caused the confusion in Gorsuch's statement. Not sure if I pronounced that last name right. And next thing is, Darren never tried to help Damon. Darren had 10 minutes to try and help Damon. Instead of helping him, he lied and said he didn't help him because he had no pulse. We all know for a fact that was a lie. And next thing is, Darren lied about Damon not having a pulse. Darren claimed Damon didn't have a pulse seconds into the 911 call, yet he was alive and breathing after 7 minutes. Then it goes into, Darren lied about not knowing Darley and Damon were hurt. Darren didn't just make up one excuse why he didn't help Damon. He made up several. First, he said he had no pulse. Then he said he didn't know he was hurt. Then he said his training told him not to turn him over. He knew Damon was bleeding to death and needed pressure on his wounds, and he did nothing for that boy. See, next thing is, Darren lied when he said Waddell let the intruder get away out the front door. I thought I was going to puke when I saw Darley Key on that Lazar interview protecting Darren, claiming that Waddell let the intruder get away. Darren sat there on that program, white as a ghost, because he knew he was the person who left the home. He knew he was a shirtless, shoeless intruder. Next thing. Darren lied about meeting Waddell out front. Mr. Gorsuch said without any doubt he knew it was Darren who met Waddell out front. And then it goes into, Darren lied about the dog not barking because he knew the intruder. Darren learned later that people were suspicious as to why the dog never barked. So he made up this story. The dog knew the intruder. That dog barked at everything, including family members. He would have been barking frantically the second the attack started, and even before that. The next thing is, Darren timed how long it would take to put the sock in the alley and get back to the house. Darren claimed Darley asked him to time how long it would take to leave the house and go the 75-foot down the alley and come back. 28 seconds, according to Darren, but I don't believe Darley asked him to do that. And then it was Darren's sock in the alley. Darren denied it was his sock until Greg Davis told him they knew it was his sock. Darren commented to someone how he wouldn't be surprised if the sock was his. This was before the trial. Then Darren snuck out of the house at 2:34 a.m. and didn't go for help. Waddell's interview describes in detail how Darren left the home right after he arrived, but not before he did that second CPR on Darren. Darren had cocaine in his room and access to many other drugs. Darren wasn't charged with having drugs, probably because he didn't have enough in his room to be charged for, but he had access to all sorts of drugs, including the rape drug. See, the glass in which Darley was drinking from was the only glass broken. I believe Darren drugged Darley in that glass of wine he gave to her just before she went to bed. There was only one glass shattered in that house. Fibers from Darren's runners were found on the sock. The prosecution claimed that Darley could have put on Darren's runners to go dispose of the sock in the alley. Why would she leave her son Damon alive to put on oversized shoes and quickly run a piece of evidence down the alley that made no sense to helping her prove her intruder theory? See, blood was found by his running shoes. Detective Cron tried to tell the forensic experts he checked the garage and found no blood, but they checked on their own anyway and found blood on Darren's shoes. Okay, and Darren could have gotten to and from the garage without Darley seeing him. There's a separate path Darren could have taken from the garage to get to his room. Okay, and then it goes into, Darren changed his story as many times as he discovered new evidence. No two interviews or statements have the same story. Every time Darren hears evidence, he changes his story. Darren was accused of stealing from his employer at the computer company, causing people to believe that this is why he got rich quickly after just opening his business. Darren made money real fast right after he started his own business, so I started asking around. I was told by several people he got his first start from taking supplies from his computer job to stock up supplies for his new business. In 1993, he did an insurance scam, selling his own car to collect the insurance. And then there is evidence to back up possible affair between Darley's sister and Darren. I don't want to slander Darley's family, but there was enough evidence proving something was going on between Darren and Dana. See, then it goes into, he went to his house 12 days after the murder and was seen laughing and joking outside the house with Dana. Darren and Dana showed up at the house 12 days after the murders. They were seen laughing and joking, tossing the toys around. At one point, Darren even climbed the fountain to try and plant a flag. A retired school teacher living down the street saw them. Darren lied about being broke and in debt. Darren was confronted by Davis and given proof of his financial crisis, but Darren still denied it. Darren had the balls to lie at his son's birthday party. Darren knew he was a cheater, a cocaine user, a thief, a liar, and he stood there at his son's birthday party bragging how he taught his boys to be honest. If it wasn't so tragic, it would almost be funny. See, Darren hired Doug Mulder. I'm pronouncing that probably wrong too. Under the condition he not implicate him in the crime. Darren didn't admit or come forward before the trial, but he later admitted he hired him to not implicate him in the crime. The court lawyers warned them that they would lose Darley's case if they agreed to hire him, but they paid no attention and hired him anyways. Darren didn't dispute the insurance company's decision not to pay out because he knew they were going to do their investigation on him. Darren could have collected thousands of dollars of insurance money if he would have disputed the insurance company refusal to pay. Darren knew they would launch their investigation, so he never disputed their denial to pay out on the policy. And Darren lied about being the one who brought Drake down. Officer Wydell watched the medic bring Drake down. Darren lied about asking how Damon was. All the medics said Darren never asked about Damon. And then Damon went back into the house only to look over the evidence. Officer Wydell had gone upstairs with Walling, and about 2:40 to 2:45 a.m. he was coming down the stairs and he saw Karen coming in. He asked who she was and what she was doing. This was the only time Darren had to be able to come up into the house and look around the crime scene. It was very suspicious that the Devon was left in the home for evidence and he never went near that room. He turned off and went through the dining room. Waddell took over the door and stood guard until 3 a.m. Officer Wade took it from 5 to 7. Officer Frary, I don't know if I pronounced that right, but took it after that. But Darren claimed he pushed past the officer to get into the front door. Yet again, three people testified the exact opposite. And Darren lied about pushing past an officer to get back into the house. Darren did not push past Officer Waddell. As he claimed, Officer Waddell was not at the front door, guarding it when Darren and Terry arrived. They both came in the front entrance, but Terry stayed at the front door, but Darren went right on through. The reason I know this is because Mr. Gorsuch saw it. He saw Darren and Terry went in, followed by Karen. Seconds later, only Terry and Karen were escorted out. Darren was still in the home. Gorsuch didn't mention when Darren finally did come out, so he could have gone through the sliding door, but the point is, Officer Waddell never saw Darren come in. And the last thing is the bloody fingerprint. Even though it was not entered into court, some independent forensic experts looked at the bloody fingerprint in the laundry room. In 2003, two experts for the defense were working on some of the unidentified prints, including Exhibit 84F, the non-bloody fingerprint found in the utility room door. Lieutenant Print Consulate Robert C. Lonez examined Exhibit 84F and matches the Darren router. A second defense expert, however, forensic fingerprint analyst Glenn Langenberg, was unable to match the print to Darren. The defense suggested that a neutral expert he brought in to resolve it. As of yet, this has not occurred. Oh, and there's another thing. Darren's pubic hair is found on Darley's nightgown. They hadn't slept together in more than a week, so the possibility of Darren having his pubic hair on her or near her was not very likely. And here's where Joe Douglas is clarifying issues that came up regarding the Officer Waddell story. And I'm going to go into detail with that now with what she wrote up. But Officer Waddell arrived at the home at about 2:33 a.m. As soon as Darren heard the police pull up, he ran upstairs. We know this because he opened up the door to wherever he had the dog locked up. Darren says in his police report, he runs downstairs right out the front door. He runs from the home screaming that someone stabbed his wife and kids. This is at 2:33:35. Waddell stops him and they talk for a second, both turn around and go back inside the home. This is consistent with what both Officer Waddell and that Mr. Gorsuch say. And the discrepancies start when Waddell testified that when he first came in, Darley had told him she was attacked in the kitchen. Doug Mulder was all over the place with his questioning. It was hard to figure out what time he was asking about. It was obvious that Darley hadn't said anything about the attack at first. It wasn't until later when they were in the kitchen and off the phone with 911. Waddell does ask for a rag. Darley claims that this was Darren, but I found it very suspicious that the only time she remembered anything was when Darren had coached her. Darren claimed it was him who had asked about the rag, but that made no sense at all. Who was he going to ask him to go and get a rag? Darley was being helped by Waddell, and Waddell had no idea where to even get a rag, so it was clear that it was Waddell who made that statement. Then we have another statement that the prosecution claimed was Darren. It was a comment about the phone, but that wasn't Darren either. That statement was made earlier, and it was made by someone in the 911 station. Darren wasn't upstairs with Darley and Waddell at that time. Darren came in, he immediately ran over to Devin and started a second CPR on him. And then Officer Waddell was not in the home when Darren did the first CPR on Devin almost 4 minutes earlier. He had no way of knowing Darren knew Devin had died several minutes earlier. But there is a gap in the 911 call of about 90 seconds where Darren wasn't heard. This was more than enough time for Darren to run the 75 yards down the alley and lose or plant the sock. Well, I think it's 75 feet. Darley and Officer Waddell are heard talking. She is showing Waddell where the intruder ran. Their backs are turned to Darren. Officer Waddell looks back at the boys and Darren is gone. He says he believed Darren went to Karen's for help, but we know for a fact he didn't. Darren didn't go out the front door as Waddell thought. He had left through the sliding doors, and that was why the black chair is tipped over outside the sliding door. Darren also came back in the same way. The reason I know this is because Officer Walling came in the front door right after Darren got back into the house. He walked through the hall to the living room and saw Darren standing in the middle of the living room. Yet he was out of breath and red-faced as though he had been running. Darren doesn't concern himself at this point with either boy. He is heard on the 911 call, going over to the officers to try and get them to focus their search outside the home. But he was telling them the intruder took and ran. Darren continues on arguing with Darley, also desperate to try and convince everyone an intruder did this. Officer Waddell did tell Darren to go over and help his son, but he didn't go over to Damien. He went back over to Devin. And Darren never touched the living boy once. He used Devin as an excuse not to go near Damon. Darley also told Darren to help Damon at some point, and he still didn't. Eventually, when the medics came in, Darren was apparently blocking their path. This was stated by some of the medics. Officer Waddell had them set by the sliding door. And Officer Waddell and Walling went towards the kitchen. As they were leaving the room, Darren got up, according to Darley, was running towards the front door. Mr. Gorsuch said he saw Darren running and screaming over to Karen just like he had done when Officer Waddell first arrived. This is when the confusion came. They didn't know that Darren had just put that performance on twice, once at 2:33 and again at 2:40 a.m. Officer Waddell did testify that he was coming down the stairs when he saw Karen in the room. He couldn't and didn't see Darren come in and immediately go through the dining room. Then we have the big questions. Why didn't Officer Waddell testify about Darren leaving the home right after he arrived? They had meetings, as Waddell said in court, and he was prepared as to what questions were going to be asked. He had no control over what went on in that courtroom. You cannot go in there and speak freely about anything you want. Waddell wasn't questioned about Darren leaving at 2:34 a.m. It was understood that they knew. Lastly was the rags that Waddell said there were not in the boys. I don't believe for one minute he lied about that. It would have been shocking for anyone to have walked into a scene like that. The fact that Waddell did see or didn't see any rags on the boys are irrelevant as far as I'm concerned. Who would actually remember a detail like that? Nobody knows for sure when the rags appeared near the boys. But I believe that will wrap up this episode. I'll probably most likely plan this into a part 3, which will come out here shortly after this one. So like I said, if you want to join the group, you know, Killers Crawl Space, you can find on my Facebook page, Killers Crawl Space. you know, if you can leave a review, anything, you know, be appreciated. And thank you for tuning in.